Welcome to worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we ask now that you might quiet our hearts and our minds. Allow us to hear your Spirit through your word, to be drawn closer to you, so that we might grow in our faith and walk with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. From Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." During this silence, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer and anointing for you or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or exit the worship center. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This evening, we've been reading the brief story from the Gospel of Matthew of Jesus' baptism. And when we read the story of Jesus' baptism, it often draws to mind our own baptisms and a call to remember them. But why do we need to remember and think about baptism? After all, it's just one moment in life. And for many who are baptized as babies or young children, you can't even remember the actual event. And really, at the core of this question of why we remember baptism is the question of why baptism is important. Because we remember important events. So what is it about baptism that makes it important enough for us to take time to remember it in our own lives? As somebody who was baptized as an infant, I don't remember the actual event. So I always find myself thinking about other water stories in my life when we think about baptism, which is difficult for me because I'm not a big fan of water. I blame this on really awful swim lessons that I had as a child. At the beginning of every summer, so like early June, when I was a kid, the local village pool would have swim lessons in the morning, which my mom dutifully took my sister and I to, along with most of the other kids in town. So they were really crowded, and the lifeguards were mean, and most importantly for my memory, the water was freezing. After all, it was like 10 a.m. in early June in Ohio in a not very well heated pool, and I was kind of a tiny kid. And the mean lifeguards wouldn't let you get out of the water, even if you were shivering and starting to turn blue. Now, I probably would be really against water, if not for the fact that one summer, instead of doing the awful swim lessons, my mom took my sister and I to a private pool the town over and signed us up for semi-private swim lessons. There were two lifeguards for like five kids. They were nice. One of the lifeguards called me Hannah instead of Hannah, and my mom really liked that. And most importantly, the water was warm. Now, why does that matter? Well, because a lot of our lives are like the first swim lesson. We aren't treated like we're important or that we matter or that we're loved. It can be hard to find our identity. It can be difficult to desire to participate in ministry, to find our call and purpose when we have no voice telling us that we're important, when we're just one of the crowd. Baptism, however, is always the second swim lesson. Baptism reminds us that we're important, that we are loved, and that we matter. In baptism, we remember that God knows our names. In baptism, we're given our identity as a child of God. In baptism, we're given strength and hope for the future. In baptism, we are given purpose. That's what we see in the scripture this evening. Baptism was a defining moment of identity for Jesus. For it's in his baptism that we get these words about Jesus from God. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus' identity is that of the Son of God. Jesus' identity is also that of Beloved of God. Jesus isn't just the Son of God sent off with no connection to God the Father. Jesus is loved by God. And finally, God the Father is well pleased with Jesus. Now, those of you who have children know that it is indeed possible to love your kids but not be well pleased with them for a time. So the words of God of being well pleased with Jesus show us that part of Jesus' identity is that he is following the commands and ways of God. Right now, as he begins his public ministry, Jesus is doing what God has called him to do. At his baptism, we see Jesus as God's son, as beloved by God, and as following the ways and commandments of God. Baptism is also a defining moment of identity for us. Baptism tells us who we are, that we too are children of God, that we are beloved by God, and that God is well pleased with us. This is vital for us today because we live in a world that wants our identity to be anything but beloved child of God. We hear so many messages about that try to tell us what our identity is. We're identified by our job, which is in many ways a way to try to categorize people by earnings or worth. We're identified by our families, not just our family names, but the makeup of our families, like whether we're married or divorced or widowed or single. Do we have kids or not? How close are we to our families? And in those messages, some are made to feel like their identity is not as good because they don't fit into a certain model. We're identified by what we own and what we buy, what kind of place we live in, the car we have. We're identified by how we vote, by where we hang out, by the town we live in, by countless other things. And really, if you want to use these things to describe yourself, that's okay. But the problem is when they begin to define us, when they lead us to think that we aren't important or that we're too important, that we aren't valued or that we are of more value than others. Because there's only one identity that should define us, beloved child of God. And why is it important to know our identity as that of beloved child of God? Because it's through this identity that we find and follow our purpose. This is what happens with Jesus in the scripture. Jesus' baptism is the beginning of his public ministry. Immediately after this, he's sent off to temptation in the wilderness. Yet he's able to stay strong against temptation because he's not defined by power or ability, but as beloved child of God. And from there, Jesus can begin his ministry in earnest. He begins to teach and to heal and to call his disciples. He begins to face challenges from those who don't follow him. He starts to be threatened. And yet, no matter what happens, Jesus never strays from this identity as beloved son of God. This identity strengthens him, and it guides him into his ministry. His purpose is to be the beloved son of God, with whom God is well pleased. And for Jesus, that's lived out in his earthly ministry. And when he follows the will of God to die on the cross and rise from the dead, so that we all might receive forgiveness of our sins and the promise of everlasting life with God. That was Jesus' purpose, and that purpose was defined in his identity at baptism. Baptism also sends us with a purpose today. As beloved children of God, we're called into ministry. We're called to share Christ's love with others. We're called to serve others and to seek to make a difference in the world. And yet we can only do this if we hold on to our identity as a beloved child of God. After all, you don't need me to tell you that sometimes it's difficult to share Christ's love with others. Sometimes it's a challenge to serve others. Sometimes it's overwhelming to think about making a difference. We get discouraged, we fail, or we turn away. And when this happens, the only way we can be drawn back to our purpose is by remembering our identity as a beloved child of God. When we remember baptism, when we remember that we are beloved children of God, that identity gives us strength and endurance over discouragement and failures and turning away. That identity brings us back, gives us a second chance, and calls us to follow Christ anew. That's what remembering our baptism does for us. It reminds us of our identity and brings us back to our purpose. When we find ourselves discouraged or lost or hopeless, we're called to remember our baptism. Remember that no matter what, we are beloved children of God. God knows our names, and God is calling us back. Back to Him, back to loving others, back to serving others, back to life following Him. When we remember our identity, we can live our purpose. So remember your baptism. Remember your baptism when you wake up and when you go to sleep. Remember your baptism when you are serving others. Remember your baptism when you're sharing Christ's love. Remember your baptism when you're discouraged. Remember your baptism when you fail. Remember your baptism when you're lost. Remember your baptism when you come to the communion table. Remember that you are a beloved child of God. Remember that as a beloved child of God, you're called to a purpose, to love and serve others. No matter what, you belong to God. No matter what, God calls your name. Remember and trust that you're a beloved child of God. In his baptism, Jesus began his public ministry, where he gathered with disciples, where he taught and where he healed, where he lived out his purpose as God's son, with whom God was well pleased. And on that night when Jesus knew he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified, he gathered with his disciples around a table. And he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Eternal God, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and slightly dip it in the cup. And we do have a gluten-free option available if you need it. I would appreciate a volunteer tonight who would be willing to come up and help serve communion. Bruce, that'd be great. Thanks. Thank you. And the rest of you are welcome to come as you're ready.